Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, November the 19th, 2012. We are off and running on Thanksgiving week. Hope you had a great weekend and are preparing for a memorable Thanksgiving holiday on Thursday. Just a chance for all of us to kind of pause and be thankful for all of our blessings that we have in this great country. We are live each weekday from noon to 1 on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's The Intelligent Voice. We're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The program is posted to my website every day, buckmastershow.com, along with tucsonsentinel.com and tucsoncitizen.com. And we now have links on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, gvnews.com, and the homepage for the Blog for Arizona. That's blogforarizona.com. It is the Monday show, and that means we get things rolling with the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring one of our two teams of commentators. Today it's the team of Ash and Eckerstrom. Then at 30 minutes past the hour, plans are moving forward to establish a permanent memorial to the victims of the Tucson shootings on January 8, 2011. Then we'll close out the show with the mayor of the town of Oro Valley. He is also the chairman of the Regional Transportation Authority, Dr. Satish Hiremath. The conversation continues on our live line at 790-2040, 790-2040, the Buckmaster Show live line. You are always welcome to join us anytime during the hour. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Now we welcome Bruce Ash, Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, Vice Chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Gentlemen, how are you today, Paul and
Good.
Bruce?
Beautiful weekend it was.
Nice weekend. Very nice weekend. A little bit unseasonably warm, Bruce Ash, but we'll take it, huh?
We'll take it and take a U of A victory over Utah on Saturday night, and looking forward to some serious piney kicking on Friday against the Sun Devils.
Yes. Kadeem Carey leads the nation in rushing yards.
He is amazing, and this is really turning out to be a great season. And setting up that ASU game, we'll have Anthony Jimeno on the show Wednesday talking about the big game. Breaking news, the city of Tucson having a news conference this afternoon, Bruce and Paul saying it looks like the voters have approved Prop 409. Paul, this was not supposed to go anywhere, this road bond initiative.
Well, it's a bond, and it's easier to pass a bond than basically a tax increase to pay for fixing the roads. But the bond issue, I think, was really important for our community. I don't know how many people tell me that they complain about potholes and the needed street repairs that we've neglected for so long because of the recession. And so I think this was a very important thing for our infrastructure in the city of Tucson to move forward on our economic development.
Bruce, it's a vote of confidence for our city council.
No, I think it's a vote to help the longevity of our cars and our roads more than anything else.
My suspension.
The alignment, which I recently had fixed.
The fact of the matter is that the city of Tucson at times has made imprudent decisions with respect to how they spend money that they get from other sources. I'm satisfied that Steve Kozacek will be a leader on the city council to make sure that there's no waste and that the job gets done as efficiently as possible. I think Mayor Rothschild has also – this is a vote of confidence really for him, and I agree with you that it is a vote of confidence that way. I think that he's roughly up on his one-year anniversary. I think December 5th or 9th is his one-year anniversary. And, you know, I think Jonathan is laying the foundation – on paving the way for the next 3 years of his term. And I think that this was a nice, you know, initial payoff for that. And, you know, hey, this isn't about partisanship. If somebody's doing a good job, you know, you call that the same way you would if they weren't doing such a good job.
I like the way you used paving the way.
I didn't, you know, that was totally unintentional. But you know, Jonathan really should team up, though, with Steve in making sure that some of the other rascals on that council don't get their fingers involved in the pot too much. And I think that they'll do a good job on this. They know everybody's watching very, very carefully.
Paul, I know you're upset with a report that came out, and you believe that all Arizonans should just really be upset about the miserable findings showing Arizona second in income disparity behind New Mexico.
Yeah, this is kind of on the heels of other reports to say we're second highest in poverty rate, that we're, you know, we're second highest in incarceration rates in our prisons. I think it all goes to the fact, and in this particular study, they're basically attributing it to the fact that there's very poor child care programs in this state, so the single parents can go out and work for better jobs and get an education, and our education system that is not producing educated workforce. We're stuck in low wage, service oriented type jobs.
And you've been talking about the education. That's why you were pushing so hard for Prop 204, right, which voters rejected.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because this is the key to our economic development: is get our education system in order so we can attract good paying jobs to this state. But this is just another indication that we are in a situation right now. If we don't change in terms of funding our schools and our universities better, like we used to do in the 60s and 70s, that we are headed towards a very, very, how I call it, a third world economy here in Arizona.
Bruce Ash, do you have any comment about Arizona being second in the nation in income disparity behind New Mexico?
Yeah, there's not enough opportunities here in Arizona. There has not been enough diversification in the economy here in Arizona. We will continue to be a boom and bust economy if we don't do things. There have been a lot of criticisms of the sorts of things that some of our Republican lawmakers have talked about, our Republican governor has talked about, in terms of creating a greater amount of wealth for everybody to make this a place where people come to for not just for good jobs, but also where businesses who should be looking at their situation in California after the sales tax changes made there and the income tax, the onerous income tax being charged there. And we ought to be doing a heck of a lot better job bringing jobs, bringing businesses to Arizona, and we're not. And as long as that happens, there will be this kind of disparity in income. And, you know, so if we're able to build that kind of wealth here in our state, we will be able to pay for the education that Paul talks about. And you know, Paul and I may disagree with how we end up paying for education, but I think everybody at this table is committed, you know, to we need to have quality education. And as far as – let me just finish. As far as 204 – I think there was a real clear, strong message from the voters. They didn't think that a permanent 1% sales tax, and one where there was this road building component in it, which seemed to be a payoff for the heavy contractors here in the state, was really called for. And I'm hoping that this session of the legislature, we have kind of a different composition to the legislature in this upcoming session. I'm hoping that they will follow through on some of the promises made, both Republicans and Democrats, to streamline the education process.
There's no way that they're going to be able to refund and restore education funding in this state, in the legislature. It takes a two-thirds vote to pass any type of tax increase to refund our schools in both houses. It just isn't going to happen. It would have to happen by initiative in the future. However, let me explain one thing. 1990, we have one-third the state income tax we had in 1990. All through the 90s, the Republican legislature cut the state income tax to one-third of what it was. That is directly attributable to the fall in our funding of our schools. And now we went from 26th in the country in funding of our schools among the states to dead last. And now it's gotten worse because we did another tax cut that's going to kick in July 1st with the 1-cent sales tax leaving July 1st, we're going to have $1.5 billion hole in the budget, and it's going to come out of our schools again, Bill. And as a result, our schools are going to fall not just from, we're 50th now, we're going to fall, we're going to fall further from 49.
57?
Could yeah. So, you know, the basic issue is, are we willing to step up and pay some of our resources into our children and actually invest in our kids? We haven't done that for the last 40 years in the state.
Bruce said it's already happening, though. The governor's making a commitment to put some more money into education.
How?
Said,
there is none, Jabil. There's
Bruce
nothing.
Bruce said it's already happening. How is it
well,
happening?
Well, there is. There's a significant a surplus in the budget at the present time. And, Paul, you don't necessarily raise revenues through tax increases. You do it through creating opportunities, through creating jobs, through creating more and more people, earning more and more money, creating more and more money that goes into the state treasury.
If you add the rainy day fund of $400 million and maybe $600 million in surplus that it looks like we're having, that's a billion. We're going to have $1.5 billion hole in our budget come July 1st. There's no way that the cuts aren't coming again to our schools.
I'll see it
when I believe it. If they restore funding to where we were prior to the recession to schools, ain't happening, Bruce. It just ain't.
Caller has a question. Charles has a question directed to Paul Eckerstrom on the Monday Political Face-Off. Go ahead, Charles.
Mr. Eckerstrom.
Hey, Charles.
Can you show any empirical study whatsoever that shows any causal linkage between the amount of money spent on schools and the quality received therefrom?
Yes. In Maryland, in a five-year plan that they put together, they took a couple billion dollars they raised with sin taxes on tobacco and alcohol. They gave it to their school districts and said, you have to have a five-year plan to improve your test scores. They were 29th in the country in test scores at the time. They put in about an average amount among the states in terms of per student spending. They upped that to being a little bit above average by doing that. And each school district, if they didn't do the job that they were supposed to do after a year on their plan, they'd have to rejigger their plan. Every school district put in money because all the studies say good teachers and lower class sizes make the biggest difference. They increase teacher salaries to get the best teachers, and they reduce class sizes. And in 5 years, by 2007, they went from 29th in test scores to number one in the country in test scores. And I'd say we should do the same thing here in Arizona. Adopt the Maryland plan.
We have to take a break right here. This is the Monday Political Face-Off with Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash. We will continue after we hear from the Buckmaster Show sponsors.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
The Rugg Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rugg Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rugg Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rugg Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rugg Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGGS. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Stop in and say hello to Moe and his family. They do great work, and I continue to have people say, Moe did a fantastic job doing a framing job for me. So I'm not surprised. He does great work. Bruce Ash and Paul Ackerstrom with me. Bruce Ash, what role did the unions play in Arizona elections this year?
Well, they pretty much carpet-bombed Republican candidates across the state. I'm sure if you talked with Frank Antonori, he would tell you that. And, you know, he might be considered to be, you know, on the way conservative side by some. But they did the same thing to Ted Vogt, who, by all reports, was somebody that Democrats and Republicans felt comfortable working with and had a lot of good legislation, like Frank, that he sponsored. They worked in concert after the Independent Redistricting Commission did their work. The results of the election were almost exactly, you could have called this when the IRC finished their work in terms of how they micro-targeted the redistricting, and the unions fell right in line. They did the work that they had to do. And I believe that there has to be paycheck protection for union members here in the state. There are plenty of union members who are not Democrats, who do not like these automatic deductions made from their wages every 2 weeks, put in the coffers of union bosses who are doing whatever they possibly can to defeat Republican candidates and support leftist causes.
Wow.
Bruce, I'm actually a union member, and you don't have to be a union member, frankly, in this state. And so the other thing is if you're going to give to their political COPE program, you have to do that separately. And I don't understand why anybody thinks the unions have much leverage in the state. They don't. Frankly, the outside dark money that was coming into this state made a huge difference for Jeff Flake, for example, in his race. And the unions were outspent nationally by that type of money, where billionaires were giving $10 million a shot to some of these political organizations that Karl Rove was running.
So the union money, in your opinion, was a drop in the bucket compared to the so-called dark, dark money. That
union money was outspent 10 to 1 by business-oriented money.
Paul and Bill.
And that's true. I mean, absolutely.
Bruce says that's simply not true.
There was $400 million that was put in by unions that we can track into various candidates and propositions all across the country in the last election. Okay, these are the facts as are reported by the Wall Street Journal, which I think on a normal day is a pretty reliable source of this sort of information. And there were plenty of union dollars that were spent in the Citizens United mode where their money was dark as well. And frankly, unions have a constitutional right, just like a corporation or just like a private party, to make those sorts of gifts, as the Supreme Court has opined. The problem is that there's a lot of people, and it's my opinion that a time for paycheck protection is long overdue here in Arizona. It's time for people who belong to unions, who have a lot of other reasons to belong to unions and give to other causes that unions believe in. It's time for them to have protection where their money isn't being taken from them without their permission and put into these campaigns that they are not in favor of.
Bruce just doesn't like the fact that he gives a lot of money into political campaigns, and it gets fought back against by working class folks with small dollar contributions, and his power then is diminished. That's what's going on here. Frankly, working folks are getting overwhelmed right now in this country the disparity in it isn't just happening in Arizona, it's nationally. The disparity in incomes is expanding, not contracting. And that's directly attributable to the fact that unions have not near the political power they used to because of Citizens United and things of that nature, where billionaires can literally drop a $10 million check on a campaign and put money in. Karl Rove's group spent over $300 million this year alone in elections, and that was just all raised from billionaires. And I'll tell you, Antinori's problem was he couldn't even get the support of the Republicans because he had made people so angry at him because of his personality. That's why Frank Antinori lost.
We'll get to Frank in just a second. You know, the election's been over for not even 2 weeks, and already Eckerstrom is starting with the class envy, you know, the money envy stuff.
Hey, I'd love to be a billionaire and I could drop $10 million on someone's campaign
support.
I'd love to do that, but I'm not a billionaire. I wish I was. Yeah.
You know? I think we all ought to be billionaires, and not through the inflation that's going to be caused by the Obama administration over the next 4 years as he jumps up the deficit by about another $7 or $8 trillion, and not the way that working class families are going to have to struggle in this country, where 65% of every dollar that the government spends goes for five entitlements. That number goes to 75% within 3 years if nothing else changes. This is before Obamacare, which, by the way, Paul and his friends conveniently leave out. Obamacare was supposed to cost about $870 to $900 billion over a period of time. The CBO, again, a pretty reliable source for information such as
the Congressional Budget Office,
has said that Obamacare will now cost approximately $1.7 trillion. And that number probably goes up by virtue of how governors across this country treat these health insurance exchanges and how the government decides to play footloose and fancy-free with the law as a result.
The CBO says that Obamacare will help reduce the national debt and national deficit over the next 10 years. But somehow you're saying it's going to be X amount of money more. That just doesn't compute. I mean, the CBO has said that Obamacare actually will help reduce the deficit over a 10-year period.
We're going to be at a $22 trillion national debt if nothing really changes very much. The velocity that we're currently on, Paul, is approximately $22 trillion. Just this morning, it's reported that Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner said there should not be a debt limit. We should get rid of the national debt limit in its entirety. Well, of course, because it's an uncomfortable fact that every so often We have these little things called deficits. And this year, actually last month, there was approximately a 20% increase in the velocity of the national deficit. And we're probably looking at about a $1.4 trillion deficit in this past year
alone. Let me make a prediction. I think President Obama and Congress are going to come to a grand bargain that will reduce—
Before the end of the year.
And it will reduce it to about $4-5 trillion over the next 10 years, and it will be balanced with some revenue enhancements and also major cuts, about 3-1, and I think that will put us on a path of prosperity with the improving economy.
Okay.
I think we'll balance this budget in the next four to six years.
From your lips to God's ears, because New York Times columnist Paul Krugluk today called for a 91% tax, return to that tax. So, you know, the geniuses that the president listens to, I'll never understand.
Bruce Ash and Paul Ekstrom, I want to wish both of you a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gowrie and Fine Framing, Fort Lawton Dodge, and at moesgowrie.com.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. President Obama's Asian tour has stopped in Cambodia, where he met with the Prime Minister today. White House aides describe a tense meeting where they say the president emphasized his concern about Cambodia's human rights situation. A host of foreign leaders is urging Israel and Palestinians to put a halt to their rocket attacks. The fighting, which began last Wednesday, has claimed more than 100 lives. The housing market is showing more signs of improvement. Sales of existing homes rose 2.1% last month. Meanwhile, confidence among U.S. home builders also was up last month to its highest level in 6.5 years. A bankruptcy expert at the University of Michigan expects that a number of companies will ask permission to buy slices of the Hostess Brands company, which announced last week is going out of business. Stocks up between 1 and 2% today. The Dow ahead by 168. This is SRN News.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
$12.35 on this Monday edition, this Thanksgiving week edition of the Buckmaster Show, this portion of Buckmaster presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a community for adults 55 and better. Enjoy the sensational sounds of Splendido with a special musical performance by Gestures of Joy. That's an inspiring resident-led group that combines music, sign language, and some big-time theatrics. Tuesday at 11 a.m., that's December 4th, RSVP. Please say you heard about it on the Buckmaster Show by calling 762-4084, 762-4084, or visit SplendidoTucson.com. Well, should Tucson have a permanent memorial to the January 8th, 2011 Tucson shootings that left 6 people dead and 13 injured, including then-Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords? Many in our community say we should have some type of permanent memorial. One of those people joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. He is Stephen Brigham, I got it right, Director of Capital Planning and Projects for the University of Arizona Health Network and President of the nonprofit group known as 1-8 Memorial Foundation. Stephen, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks so much for your interest in this.
Well, I'm very interested in it, and I think personally I would like to see, I'm one of those people in the community would like to see some permanent memorial, but I really am open, and I think I'm probably like a lot of people, Stephen, I'm open to the way that form and the shape of that memorial, the way this should be structured.
Well, it's an interesting discussion that the community is just now starting to have. As you can imagine, right after the event, that first month, the January month of 2011, people were reacting in a number of different ways. In fact, there were people contacting the hospital to say, we have to start building a memorial right away. One of the things we did was to acknowledge that we have to do some healing to get through this initial phase and take a time out and see what the community is going to be doing.
Yeah, and it's other communities have grappled with this. Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where United Flight 93 went down on 9/11. The folks in Oklahoma City also tried to figure out what the best way to go with a memorial. And I think you are right in your thinking that we needed a little time away from this issue and to address it now as we come up to the 2-year anniversary.
Well, you're right. And you mentioned 2 memorial sites that have actually been quite successful in developing a vision for each of those sites. We reached out to them right away to find out what they had been through, what they recommend. And they were tremendously helpful. And one of the key things that they said was, don't rush into this. You need to take some time. You need to talk to the people involved. make sure you're doing this right, because with the right vision, the pieces will fall in place. Shanksville, for example, spent nearly 3 years acquiring property, because you can imagine a plane landing in an open field. That gave them a site, but it didn't give them ownership to a site. And one of the challenges we face is this whole notion of what is the place, where is the place?
And what are some of the ideas, some of the natural places that come to mind would, of course, be the site of the shooting and perhaps maybe something downtown.
Well, you're right. Of course, the site is a special place, but it's an awkward place, too.
Very awkward.
It's a commercial leased property that the Safeway store doesn't own. They've done a very great job of accommodating this whole tragedy. They've put up an appropriate plaque that acknowledges something that happened there. But as we've talked to our board members and other constituents, and as we start to reach out to our immediate family of those victims that were involved, we're starting to understand that this was a different event. This was about democracy in action. This was about Congress on your corner. And so it leads us to where is the heart of the city? Where does democracy normally happen, which is perhaps in the heart of the city, downtown? So we're looking at some opportunities that have been brought to us for downtown. But on the same level as that, the event took place in the northwest part of Tucson, actually in Pima County. So part of our challenge is to acknowledge that special region of the city to see maybe we need to do several things. Maybe we need to have something that speaks to democracy in a downtown venue, and perhaps something in the northwest part near the Safeway store. The challenge in the northwest, of course, is that land ownership is all private. The only land that's owned is really by Pima County, perhaps. You know, the only public land that's out there is Pima County land that would be part of a roadway widening or improvement. So there are some challenges. But the first thing we want to do now is to talk to those who are directly involved to see what some of their ideas would be.
We're speaking with Stephen Brigham. He is the president of a nonprofit group called 1-8 Memorial Foundation. Stephen, how did this foundation come together? And I know you did receive an anonymous donation of $50,000 to kind of as seed money to get the ball rolling here.
Well, it came together really with a series of community discussions. Many of those took place at Cox Communications. A very informal series of discussions. And it became apparent that we needed to form a nonprofit corporation to formally deal with the act of planning and to put this together. So there are 13 board members that were selected by community representatives, of which I represent the hospital. And so we came together in April and have been working on the nuts and bolts of putting an organization together and to get ready for a series of community meetings to start getting a broader series of input from those directly involved.
I suppose this will you'll kind of have a list of sites, and then I suppose start to kind of vet that and narrow it down.
Well, that's part of the balancing act. We want to have a meeting or a series of meetings and talk about opportunities, but we don't want to cloud anyone's vision just yet. We do have some survivors and victims, family members on our board, and they've been great in terms of guiding us. But we just don't know yet, and we really want people to close their eyes and say, what do you see when you think about a memorial for this? Because it has to capture a couple of difficult issues. This was a tragedy. Many people probably think we should move on and just not continue to dwell on this issue. But we have to remember those people that were lost, those families that were affected. And then we have to acknowledge and perhaps commemorate the great spirit that came up after this event. For those who went to these memorial sites at the hospital, at Gifford's office, at Safeway, those were so inspirational. And then we had tremendous international media interest. We had the Today Show here. We had everybody coming here like a pilgrimage. So we have to also acknowledge and celebrate that international support we had. So balancing all those elements and how do you put those into a memorial or a series of memorials, It's going to be a interesting. This is one of the most challenging projects I've ever had in my career.
You're trained as an architect.
I am, and that's perhaps one of the reasons I got involved in this for the hospital. The Saturday of that shooting was a momentous day, and clinically it was not a big event for a hospital dealing with a lot of casualties. But the community impact was tremendous, and I came in that weekend and realized that the clinical staff were overwhelmed, of course. The administrative staff were overwhelmed. And I realized that as a project person, I could help perhaps deal with what's happening outside the hospital, deal with the logistics of the memorials that were propping up.
The lawn. We'll always remember those images of the lawn of University of Arizona Medical Center.
Those were so inspiring.
That would lead many people to perhaps say, maybe we need to have some kind of a memorial on that lawn, and I'm sure that area will be considered.
It has been considered. I'm personally trying to discourage that as a site for a couple reasons. One is memorials at a hospital are tricky.
Yeah.
We lose people at a hospital, and if you acknowledge one group and don't acknowledge another group, that's a challenge.
Stephen Brigham, thank you very much. Stephen is heading up this 1-8 Memorial Foundation. We need to have some kind of information for our listeners, Stephen, about where they can put their input in. Where would they go?
Well,
what would be a good place?
A good place, perhaps. We do have a website. It's really not set up just yet. If you could give us till the end of the month, we're going to have these community meetings, and we will have more public information as the second anniversary comes up. But anybody can email me directly at stephen.brigham@uahealth.com, and Stephen is S-T-E-P-H-E-N.
I have another idea for all the Buckmaster Show listeners. Our Facebook page continues to grow. If you have an idea about this memorial, please go to Bill Buckmaster on the Facebook and let us know, and I'll make sure Stephen gets your thoughts. Stephen, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and thanks for your help and interest.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
It's 10 minutes to 1 on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of Buckmaster brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. If you are looking for a great place to get away this 4-day Thanksgiving weekend, may I recommend Silver City? It's only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Great opportunities to visit so many places, fun places, arts, hiking, birding, lots of nice places to stay, including Spirit Canyon Lodge, Wilderness Lodge, Agave Ridge Retreat, and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. Check out more about Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, the mayor of the town of Oro Valley, Dr. Satish Hiremath. He is also the chair of the Regional Transportation Authority, known as the RTA. Mayor, how are you today?
Doing well, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. One of the themes of your State of the Town address earlier this fall was good things can happen when we think outside the box, and you pointed to the deal that kind of brought this. It shut down the Coyote Run operations in February, merging its services with SunTran and Handycar. How did all that work out?
You know, that worked out exceptional. Matter of fact, our ridership has more than tripled. We've quadrupled our geographic expansion to where riders of the town of Oro Valley can get around. So, to your point, it was a matter of, I think, enough people wanted to do it, but everybody did their own little thing. And I think in this economy, the more we can partner together for each other's success, the better off we're going to be. And I think Coyote Run is a very, very large feather, not only in the town of Oro Valley's cap, but to be honest with you, for the Regional Transportation Authority. And because of that, they're going to venture into the town of Marana. They're looking at venturing out into Sahuarita and kind of really expanding that network. So an Oro Valley resident, in theory, will soon be able to get to the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, and that is phenomenal.
Put on your hat now, your chair of the RTA. How do you see the downtown streetcar working? People here in Tucson just can't wait for it to be over.
And yes, as a matter of fact, I'm in that same boat. And, you know, it's gotten a lot of flack in the press lately, and I think what people tend to forget is that the streetcar was supposed to be the final piece of that entire downtown puzzle. Rio Nuevo was supposed to have been completed, and this really was the last piece of the puzzle. Because of what happened with Rio Nuevo, right or wrong, it's pretty much indifferent. That didn't get done. So I think the city of Tucson, along with the RTA, is trying to use the streetcar now, which was planned over 10, 11 years ago, to really be the stimulus that's going to turn downtown around and hopefully Rio in a way where we'll get built. And I think people miss that point. You know, we get a lot of questions and concerns about, you know, why are we putting a streetcar in the middle of downtown Tucson? Well, in the timeline of things, this was supposed to be the last piece of the puzzle, but I'm very excited that it is going to be the completion, and I think it's just going to revitalize that entire area.
Are we nearing now construction of the streetcar line to about the 50% mark?
Yes, that is correct.
So things, from what you understand, the project will come in on schedule?
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about Oro Valley, the tram. We have not talked on this program before. It's been in the paper a couple of times about an idea that a tram would go really from Oro Valley up to Mount Lemmon. Is this a wild idea, or does it have some credence as far as you're concerned?
Well, I'll put it this way. This idea has been kicked around for over 8 years that I've known of. So this is really more of the same. You know, I think there's just enough interest there to just keep it alive. But and Oro Valley is certainly open to that, although I will say, you know, the funding source for this is not going to come from local residents. It's not even going to come from the state of Arizona. It's going to have to be federal involvement. And so while it is a great idea in the long run, it is just that. It's just an idea. And, you know, we keep it alive because if we can find a good, adequate funding source of it, imagine what kind of draw that would have to the entire Metro Tucson region. It'd be phenomenal.
Well, you know, I don't think it's such a wild idea. You point to New Mexico and Albuquerque and what they've done with Sandia Peak, where you can go from 5,000-foot elevation to 10,000 feet in just, you know, a matter of minutes, and it's a huge economic opportunity. So I don't think this is so wild.
And I would agree with you. And, you know, two things that people kind of often overlook is that the only way to get to the top of Mount Lemmon is really through Mount Lemmon over on the east side. The problem is that when it does snow, they close the road.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost kind of ironic in the sense that, you know, how do you get to Mount Lemmon for skiing opportunities when they close the road when the weather gets bad? And the other one, which is more important, is that I see a big push regionally to brand this region as more geotourism. And what I've been told by Dean Joaquin Ruiz over at the University of Arizona, that from a biodiversity standpoint, when you get to the valley around areas like Oro Valley to the peak up at Mount Lemmon, it's very, very rare, and it's an exception to the rule that you're going to find that much biodiversity between the elevation points from the valley to the top. And I think that's another thing that we have to start capitalizing on.
Oh, I know. The ecotourism is huge, and I want to put a plug in here for Biosphere 2. They will be joining the Buckmaster Show as a sponsor on December the 1st. They're doing some fabulous things up there, and it has become just a really a must-see place, along with the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, where to take out-of-town tourists. It's fabulous.
And you're absolutely correct. You know, it is unbelievable the depth of which the Biosphere wants to get involved with local jurisdictions like Oro Valley to help promote tourism. You know, you and I know because we live here, tourism for the state of Arizona is a $2 billion industry. And, you know, the more tourism opportunities that we can create, the better off economically that the entire region is going to become.
We're talking with Dr. Satish Hiremath. He is the mayor of the town of Oro Valley. He's also chair of the Regional Transportation Authority. What's this about archery finding a home in Oro Valley?
Well, again, that's another one of these tourism opportunities. We have some very passionate residents who happen to be archers, and they came to the town with funding. And I might add that is really what pushed this council to spur into action, is because they did come to us with an idea and funding. And we are looking at becoming a tourist destination for archery, not only from, you know, just the lay people who want to recreationally participate in archery, but really, you know, we're trying to position ourselves to become a national competition center in the continental United States. There just aren't that many competition archery ranges across the country. Naranjal Park site had some space available. It's a beautifully planned park site, and we took a few acres of that and now have stationary targets, and in the very near future we're going to put in a walking course where archers can actually walk a course and target shoot at targets while they're walking.
Again, it could be a big economic yep. opportunity if archers from all over the world perhaps converge for some big tournament out there.
Absolutely, and really that's the intent also. And I think we had talked about earlier, we had just put in $5 million into the expansion of our aquatic center, and already we've secured the 8 and under state championship meet, and the United States synchronized swimming nationals are going to be held here, which just creates more tourism opportunities for the town of Oro Valley.
Mayor Hiermath, thanks for spending some time with us. Want to wish you a great Thanksgiving week. Thanks.
And the same to you, Bill. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much. Coming up now on 12:59 on the Buckmaster Show, bottled water on our program is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We really like Culligan water. It just tastes better. Coming up this afternoon at 4 o'clock, the John C. Scott Show. I think Shelley Fishman today is sitting in for John today at 4 o'clock. I think Shelley is hosting. Big news with the John C. Scott Show. Coming up on December 1st, John's show expands from 3 to 5, 2 hours for the John C. Scott Show. That starts December the 1st. Tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. We've got you covered here on KVOI with all the best in local and national talk shows for you. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.